is this, there are some relationships that are just more important than others. Would you agree? I hope you would, because that is the truth. And there might be good relationships, but they're not as important as the best relationships. We are a social people, and we need to interact, and I believe the Lord created the church. One of the reasons He created the church was to meet the need of our social construct, that we'd be able to fellowship one with another with the similarity that we have in Christ. We bring a lot of differences, but we bring one thing definitely that's similar, and that is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously there are other things, I believe, that bring us to this type of church. We identify with this type of church, this type of Bible teaching and preaching. So we're going to look at this, Proverbs 6, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend." Let's pray. Father, may you bless the teaching of the word this evening. May the Spirit of God take it, minister to each heart in the room. And may we not just be reminded of the most important relationships, but may we be instructed concerning how to protect them and invest in them and keep them sure. We're thankful, Lord, for this fellowship and the friendships that have developed as a result. Most of all, we're thankful for your mercy and grace that allowed us to experience your love and your friendship. Help us to ever invest in that. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have you ever over-obligated yourself? And when I say over-obligated yourself, that means that you committed yourself to something that has now interfered with a priority relationship. And because of your commitment to this individual or this project, you are now unable to meet a need or a commitment that you had with somebody else that really holds more weight when it comes to relationship. I'm talking value weight, okay. in our text, if you paid attention closely, the wise man gives instruction to his son and says, you know, if you be surety for thy friend, if you have a debt, so to speak, if you have stricken your hand with a stranger, I'm made to believe that verse 2 kind of helps interpret that. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. I'm made to believe that this individual, the time could come where you have obligated yourself to a stranger, and now it's becoming a hindrance to a friendship. He goes on to say, do this now, my son, deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, and go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Make sure thy friend. Well, there are certainly some friendships that outweigh others, and in the human standpoint, if you're married, your spouse is like number one. Number one, your spouse. In the human standpoint, you're with me. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives are to submit themselves to their husbands as the church is unto the Lord, and so on. And that relationship is priority. But then after that, you've got your children, and then you have friendships, whether it be in church or at work. These friendships are valuable. And yet the most important friendship of all is the one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, this idea of making it sure means to stabilize it, to strengthen it, to shore it up, so to speak, because it was leaning, it was tilting, it was coming apart. So the idea of making it sure is making it secure. Now, let's consider some things here for a moment with the marriage. How do I do this? Because I've learned, I know this is true. Often we take the closest relationships for granted the most. Those who are closest to us, sometimes we can take them for granted. And we can obligate ourselves out, and just assume or expect that those closest to us, they love us for who we are. And that is true, but eventually, if you're not putting anything in that thing, you're not going to get anything out of it. And even in a home, in a marriage, that can happen. Even amongst children, that can happen. So let me give you some suggestions, and I'm going to talk to the men initially. Some ways to make your marriage sure. And you can change it around, ladies. But every time I seek to please her over myself, I am making it sure. By the way, she knows when I'm pleasing her over myself, or whether or not I'm just pleasing her because it happens to be convenient. Hello? Every time I serve her, I'm making it sure. Every time I invest in her, if I buy flowers or think of her birthday or anniversary, do things to give myself to her, I'm making it sure. Every time I pray for her, I'm making it sure. Every time I take responsibility for my wrongs, yes, I have done wrong. You have too. But you know, when we take responsibility for our actions, when we own it, we're, in essence, we are investing. We're making it sure because we're being honest with something they already know to be true. Just like when we say, I have sinned, God already knows. He's just waiting for us to own it. Every time I invite Christ into our relationship, in the sense of prayer and seeking the Word together, I'm making it sure. Every time I would brag on my mate outside of her presence, when she's not around, I'm making it sure. Every time I forgive her for her wrongs, I'm making it sure. Every time I draw closer to Christ, I'm making it sure. But you know, as we consider those thoughts, that applies with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. I don't know if you considered that. Consider it now. Every time I seek to please Him, I'm making it sure. Every time I choose Him, His will over my will, I'm making that friendship sure. Every time I serve Him, I'm making it sure. Every time I invest in Him, I'm making it sure. Every time I talk with Him, I'm making it sure. Every time I take responsibility for my wrongs, I'm making it sure. Every time I invite Him to lead, guide, and direct my life, I'm making it sure. Now, I'll never have to ask Him. He'll never need my forgiveness. But every time I brag on Him outside of church, outside of Christian fellowship, every time I brag on Him, I'm making that relationship sure. Are you with me now? Every time I hand out a gospel tract, every time I try to share the testimony of faith with somebody else, I'm making it sure. Let's consider some people in the Bible for a moment. Enoch, the Bible tells us, was 65 years old and he had not begun to walk with God yet. But he has a baby by the name of Methuselah. And apparently, according to the teaching there in Genesis chapter 5, apparently he received a message when he received Methuselah, because Methuselah dies the year of the flood. And the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Jude tells us that Enoch preached the word of God and told the people the Lord is returning with 10,000 of his saints. Jude tells us about what Enoch preached. But for nearly 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God, but he finally made that sure, that relationship sure. Because he apparently walked so close to God, God said, well, I'm just going to take you on to glory. You're not going to experience physical death. And then you got Jacob. Jacob is getting ready to meet a brother who, the last time he'd heard from his brother wants to kill him. His brother Esau said, I'm going to kill him. And a number of years have expired, but now Jacob is heading home to see his dying father. And on his way, he's aware that his brother with 400 men, not family people, but 400 men are with him coming his way. They're like a day's journey out. And Jacob sends the family ahead, and what does he do? He makes it sure. He spends an all-night prayer meeting, gets in a wrestling match with an angel, and he doesn't let loose until he says, I need your blessing. And God said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have to get a name change. The name Jacob means supplanter. We're going to change it to Israel, which means prince with God. You found favor because you wouldn't let go. What did he do? He made it sure. He made his relationship with God sure. Well, then you got Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. If you're not familiar with the story, let me fill you in. King Jehoshaphat takes the throne. God has blessed him, but he's got a few little issues with compromising, or not necessarily, but fellowshipping, not necessarily compromising, but fellowshipping with King Ahab and the family. That was not the crowd to hang out with. And it affected him, so God's going to send a massive army, like a million-man army, against him. And they come to Jerusalem, and they've got the city surrounded. And Jehoshaphat gathers the people together, and they look to the Lord. And what does he do? He says, we don't know what to do but to seek you. And they prayed and fasted and sought the Lord and waited for the word of God. What was he doing? He was making it sure. He was making it sure. And God honored him. They didn't even have to lift a finger. All they had to do is praise the Lord, shout and sing to God, and God took care of the battle. He made it sure. Well, then you got Daniel. Remember old Daniel? Daniel is mindful of a new law that's just passed. You can't pray to anybody but the king. Well, I feel like I've shared this story quite a bit lately, but Daniel goes to prayer anyways, as he had done before. What was he doing? He's just making it sure. Making it sure. There's something about just making that relationship sure. Listen. We're not going to find fault on his side. I talked to a dear lady this past week who says, I'm just angry with God. She's seeking the Lord, but she's angry with God with some things that have taken place in her life. And I know people in their emotional status don't think right. Something in her is still seeking the Lord, but another part of her is not thinking right at all. And the best thing for her to do is make it sure. She'll discover he never left her. He's got a plan for everything. And that his plan trumps her plan for his glory and her well-being. Then John 21, if you take your Bible, turn to John 21 for a moment. When we come into John 21, the Lord Jesus has resurrected. And this is where he sits down with the disciples on the lake shore. He's already had a meal prepared. He didn't need their help to catch fish. And he has dialogue with Peter or Simon. And of course, the last time Peter had spoke, Peter had denied the Lord. And so when the Lord first resurrected, he had the angel inform those ladies who were at the tomb, go tell the disciples and Peter. Most likely because Peter did not feel like a disciple anymore. And then the Lord appears to Peter and the disciples on two different occasions on a Sunday in the upper room. But now here they are on this lake shore, on the beach there, eating fish and bread by the fire. And we look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, question. The Lord doesn't do anything accidental. And the Lord inquires, he asks these questions. What's he doing? The Lord is not fixing his heart attitude toward Peter. He's trying to fix Peter's heart attitude toward him. Remember where Peter was at. Remember the guilt, the burden. Remember the denial. Remember all that took place. And so the Lord inquires three times. Three times Peter says, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. And we see the grace of God here because the grace of God is helping Peter shore up this relationship with Christ. He needs to shore it up. Here's why he needs to shore it up. See, he's going to need a whole lot of security that everything's right between him and his Lord. He's going to need a whole lot of security and confidence. You know why? Because of the next verse. The next verse. Now, I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but it says something like this. He said, you know, when you were young, you did your own thing, but when you get older, you're going to be taken to a place that you wouldn't go. He's talking about his death, his martyrdom. That was the Merv McNair commentary there. So Peter was just informed that he's going to die a martyr's death. Now listen, I don't know what the future holds for anybody in this room, and I'm not trying to present a fear factor to anybody here. Hey, with Christ, we have the comforter, we have all the comfort we need. But the reality is this, the more sure you are in your relationship with Christ now, the easier it is to go through the storms. The more you shore that thing up now, the easier it is to go through the trials later. Not that you can't shore it up when you're in the trial. I believe you can, but it'll make it easier. It'll make it easier. So I move on to my next page here. The reality is there's some ways that I can weaken these friendships if I'm not deliberate. Now listen to this, and this relates to marital relationships, friendships, and certainly our relationship with Christ. These are ways I can weaken rather than shore it up. One, if I keep bringing up past sin or failures. Listen, if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. If I've confessed and forsaken, I've confessed and forsaken. And in the home, if you've forgiven it, man, don't bring it up. What happens a lot of times is a new argument arrives, and so they think, well, I need some leverage to be able to win this argument. So they bring up stuff from 15, 20 years ago that should have been forgotten, that everybody thought was forgiven, but no, you're still carrying it, which reveals that you had bitterness in your heart anyways. We do not help our marriages, help our relationships, and we keep bringing up past sin or failures that have already been dealt with. Another way I weaken it, when I'm more concerned about being served than being a servant. I'm more concerned about being served than being a servant. Listen, all it takes is for you and I to get in the flesh a little bit, and we all do at times, and hopefully by God's grace, one party in the marriage is always going to remain spiritual, whether it's the husband's day or the wife's day. Hopefully at least one of you is going to stay strong. Here's another way I weaken it. When I get loud when problems come rather than rest in the Lord. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. I think the rest of it that, but evil words stir up anger. Not sure if that was evil words. Number four, another reason, another means by which we weaken our relationships rather than strengthen them and shore them up is by ignoring our own sin. Sweeping it under the rug there like, it's all right, you're not my boss. When they know about it, you took some extra money out of the account and you didn't ask. You made an investment that you didn't ask about. And you just kind of, it didn't pan out. You spent some time around the wrong crowd and they know it. But you never say anything about it when you come home. You just act like, you can do what you want. See, when we ignore our own sin, listen, one, God knows. A lot of times in the marriage, they know. Had a situation a number of years ago, this is a long time ago. Had a guy struggling with pornography. And his wife was upset at him for one particular event. And he come and met with me and we talked and I looked at him. I said, brother, you need to tell her about this issue. I said, I know it's not going to be pleasant. He had it all over his phone. I said, you need to tell her, you need to get that off there and you need to let her know that you've been struggling and how long. He says, oh, she's going to leave me. I says, if you have to lie to keep your marriage together, then you're not building a marriage. I said, you got to own it. And it wasn't comfortable. And I'm, to be honest, I don't even know where they're at now, but I know he did the right thing. If I ignore her feelings on a decision, I'm not shoring it up. You ever make it? Be careful about nodding your head or raising your hand. And ladies, you could be the same. But you ever ignore her feelings when you decided to buy something? I got to get that lawnmower. I got to get that truck. I got to get this. You know what? If I'm going to go in debt, I'd rather go in debt in agreement. That way, well, you agreed. We're in the poorhouse together anyways. You know, in Amos 3:3, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can they walk together except they be agreed? That was a key factor with Enoch walking with God. First of all, God's always right, so he's the one who had to make some decisions to walk with him, to be in fellowship with him. But the reality is this, you and I can agree and still not be close. I mean, we can agree on a lot of things and still not be close. So there's more to it. There's not just the agreement aspect, but there's the idea of we got to get close. We got to know each other. We got to talk to each other. There's got to be this fellowship, this camaraderie. But, you know, I've been around people who've been close together, but they still didn't like each other. You ever been around people like that? They could be close together, but they didn't like each other. It might be at work. Well, I got to work with you, but I don't like you. I've seen them in a home, too. Well, we live together. We've been together so long, we might as well stick it out. She does her thing, I do my thing, blah, blah, blah. No, that's really not how you shore up the relationship. There's got to be love. There's got to be love. And certainly, in our relationship with Christ, the failure is always on us. That's why the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's our responsibility. In the marriage, it's both parties' responsibility to invest in each other. Let alone a friendship. Make sure thy friend, go humble yourself, he says. Humble yourself. And make sure your friend. Make sure everything's all right. Make sure they're fully over this now. There's just some friendships that are too valuable. They're just too valuable. There are people outside of my marriage. Their friendships benefit me. And I don't want to do anything to hinder or hurt their friendships. And if me, and honestly, and this is awkward, this is a difficult situation. But you know, sometimes my association with my friend's enemy doesn't help my friendship. Did you hear that? My association with my friend's enemy, I got to be privy to that. I got to be mindful, okay. I don't want my friend thinking that I'm listening to all the garbage and I'm talking. No way. I know you're hearing me. This stuff happens. There are some friendships I'm not going to forfeit. If they get forfeited, it's going to be on the other end. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. All times. And a brother is born for adversity. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a friend showeth himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The question isn't, will I be a conditional friend? No. If you can be a friend to the end. Let me tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27, this is just absolutely amazing. You'll find this in this one passage. Judas has just betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the soldiers have come. It's nighttime. The torches are flickering in the dark, and they can barely make out the faces, and they come to where Jesus and the other 11 disciples are, and the soldiers are there, and here Judas is amongst them. And they couldn't tell Jesus from the rest of them. And so Judas gives the signal, the one that I kiss, that's Jesus. And so as Judas approaches the Lord Jesus to kiss him on the cheek and give the signal of betrayal, the Lord Jesus looks Judas in the eyeballs and says, friend, wherefore art thou come? He knew. But it was as though one last time the Lord Jesus was saying, I want you to know I'm your friend. I'm not the one breaking this friendship. You are. And Judas would eventually say, I have been involved in shedding innocent blood, and he would commit suicide because he broke that. He didn't make sure his friend. There are some friends that you and I absolutely have. Lord Jesus, number one, our spouse, absolutely. But there are people in our lives that, man, you stick with them. I realize we can't. It's difficult to be a best friend to every single person. I feel like, honestly, I feel like I love y'all. When we have these little get-togethers, I want the whole church to be able to come. But the reality is, there are just some people that they help us spiritually and lift us up. So how do you make sure of your friendship? As I said, you got to agree on serving the Lord together. You ought to agree on how you handle the money when it comes to the home. How you raise your children. Setting goals together, and how you're going to solve the problems together. My son, make sure thy friend. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. That's a deliberate action. That's a self-assessment of being mindful that I've hurt somebody, I've wounded somebody, or I've left some suspicion in their mind about my friendship to them. I need to fix this. I need to remove that suspicion. I need to secure this. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, though that is simple, that is the best advice we will ever get in our relationships, the relationships that count. Father, we pray that you bless the message and minister to our hearts. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have provided us opportunity to show your love, to understand it. We're thankful, Lord, for the friendship you extended to us. And I pray now, Lord God, that you would find here a congregation of people that you know, those people are my friends. We love you. May you bless our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brother Brian?
Let's all stand and sing hymn 300.